Somewhere deep inside my heart and mind, the Spirit moves, brings your words to life, revealing all my sins, my careless ways, reminding me my debt to you's been paid. It has been paid. Searching for the words to thank my King, humbled by my silent offering. Tears of joy well from the depths of my soul. There is no greater gift I know I'll ever know.
Good morning once again. I'm a little sentimental this morning. It was fun being here. It was nice being here in this place. Now we're moving on to the next destination that God has for us at South Point. By way of announcement, this coming Saturday, which is November 5th, not June, November. I know I put June somehow or other. But it's not. It's November. November 5th, starting, some people said, well, June, that's a ways off. I don't need to do anything. I'll wait to respond. But November 5th, starting at 10 a.m., I think that's early enough, we'll be making our move to the new location that God has graciously provided for us. It was effortless. We really didn't do anything. I just heard it on the radio, went over and saw him. Brad and I went and visited. And it just seemed like the right place to go, so we did it. We're doing it. A lot of work. I've already done a lot of work, and here, as you can see, things have been moved around. Let's see, what do we have? Oh, those chairs. Did you move those back here? You're not allowed to do that. It's supposed to be a bare wall back there. And thanks to Greg. Greg, thanks for the dumpster, so we can throw a lot of stuff away that we don't need or we don't need to take with us. And his employer, thanks to them for the dumpster. And for Lou, who's going to provide a truck. Aren't you, Lou? Okay, just checking. So we can move what furniture we need to take with us and anything else. And also for any and all who are willing to help. Our stay here for the last year and 9 months That's how long we've been here. It was great while it lasted. I say thank you, Lord, for the time we got to spend in this beautiful, clean, and comfortable place. Now we're moving to a dirty old place. No, we're not. But I'm thankful, very thankful for the Lord, to the Lord for allowing us to be here. It was a wonderful time. We had a wonderful time here. When we received a letter telling us that this building was sold, Susie and I cried. Just for a moment. And then we were immediately strengthened and enabled to trust our gracious God and Savior, and we're sure that He was directing us and our church to our new destination. No sooner did we return from our trip to San Diego a couple weeks ago than I heard of this particular offering at South Point on WJPA, where each Monday morning, our new landlord, whose name is Don Hoder, very nice man, believer, who is president and founder of the prestigious South Point Chamber of Commerce. He does a 15-minute segment on WJPA each Monday morning called This Week in South Point, where he explained that they were offering office suites to small businesses that include phone, mail, office equipment, along with the availability and use of various conference areas that have full Wi-Fi and multimedia capabilities, including a Bose sound system, which is very nice, round sound system. All of this and more at a very reasonable cost. When Brad and I met with him, with Don, he told us he's always wanted to have a church in South Point, which was very interesting. So for him, this would be the fulfillment of a lifelong desire and vision that he had for that business community. So who knows what God will do. In addition, he's committed to promoting our church through the Chamber of Commerce to a very large business community and surrounding residential neighborhoods through their meetings and their magazine that reaches 2,000 homes and businesses in the area. So who knows what the Lord will do in this, the next chapter of Grace and Truth Church in our 21st year. Been here 21 years. Amazing, huh? God's so faithful. So here's the address if you want to jot it down. It's also in your email, or I'll send it to you in the email. The address is Bailey Center, 125 Technology Drive, Suite 030, Cannonsburg or South Point, PA 15317. You can plug it into your GPS and it'll take you right there, take you right to the door. And our first service will be on Sunday, next Sunday, November 6th, 2022. And I hope some of you can come and help us on Saturday also. What do we need on Saturday? We need strong people to pick this up. If there's anyone that can pick this up by themselves, you might have the same gift Samson had. That thing is so heavy. But also, we got to get this sign out of the front yard, and I'm not sure how that should be done. So I need somebody who's a little more skilled in those things to advise us and to help us get rid of that sign. We're going to keep the sign. We don't want to destroy it, but we need to get it out of the front yard, I'm sure. So anyway, that's the situation that we have. Now let's get to the Word, since that's the main reason that we're here. The rest of this stuff is incidental. This is Under Grace, our series, that so far has 24 parts, actually 25. One of them got mislabeled somewhere else. I can't find it. Part 24. This is a continuation of our message from Tuesday night, and I've entitled it True Grace, Mercy, Peace, and Love. It's quite a broad subject, isn't it? Probably too broad to address at once, but we're going to give it a whirl. Sunday, October 30th, 2022. Tomorrow is Satan's high holiday, Halloween. I'm kidding. I'm saying that tongue in cheek. To the pure, all things are pure. Those who are defiled, everything is. So you decide what you think about those things. We don't preach on such things. So this morning, I want you to put your grace thinking cap on. Do you have one of those? Grace thinking cap? And fasten that strap securely under your chin so that it doesn't fall off during the message or afterwards. You can leave it on. It will keep you looking. Not only will it cause you to think in grace terms of grace, but it'll keep you looking straight ahead so that you don't drift away from grace in Galatians 5:4. You don't want to drift away. You never want to drift away from grace. You want to grow in the grace and have your heart established in grace and be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. We're saved by grace, and afterwards we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's what glorifies God. Not what you do for him, but what he's done for you, and you're receiving what he's done. The reception of grace and your gratitude is what glorifies God. So that makes it real simple and even easy, even effortless. Just let the word of Christ richly indwell your heart, and you'll see it, and you'll see him, and you'll know him. You'll get to know him. So here's our verse. Second John, near the end of the New Testament, verse 3. It only has one chapter. 2 John 3. If you get there, when you get there, let me know. Say, we're there. Okay, that's enough time. Anyway, it says this, grace. Have you tried to define grace for yourself? Do you have your own definition of grace? It can be a short one or a long one. Just make sure it's the right one. Grace. That is not a license to sin or an excuse for loose living. Never. Rather, it is gratitude for all that God has given in terms of his goodness, his kindness, his blessings, and his favor that is toward us. By and because of what Jesus Christ did, it is the result of love. God loved the world so much that he gave his son. And from his fullness, we've all received grace against grace. Grace upon grace upon grace. One grace benefit leaning against the next. Like dominoes. That's the story of your life. It's grace benefits just falling down as you go from one to the other, from one to the next. It's so wonderful. Grace, then mercy. Mercy's kind of like grace. And I'll explain that in just a moment. Grace, mercy, and peace. I want lots of those. I want merci beaucoup. What's that mean? Thank you in French, but really means thanks a lot. A lot of thanks, a lot of grace. Merci beaucoup. That's the only French word I know, except oui. And the other phrases that my wife taught me, because she took French in high school. Like, pat de la France. You know what that is? Elephant bell bottoms. Isn't that silly? That's one thing I know. Anyway, so, mercy and peace. Then he says, will be with us. It's future, active, indicative, which means that God always will always give us grace, always give us mercy, deal with us in mercy, and provide peace now and in the future. Then he says, from God the Father, he's the source of all these things, and from Jesus Christ, he is the source of all these things, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Thus, our title, True Grace, Mercy, Peace, and Love. Grace is, who knows what grace is in the Greek? Everybody knows, see? That's good. I must have been doing my job. Some people never remember anything except English. Words? We like some Greek words every now and then. We'd like to strew a few Greek words in there. So we walk around doing this. My wife will all of a sudden go to me, peripateo. What? Where'd that come from? She goes, I just remember the word. Do you remember what it means? She goes, no, not really. I said, it means to walk or walk around. Peripateo. That's what we do. We walk around in grace. Grace is charis, which is God's goodness, kindness, blessing, and favor, none of which is earned or deserved. None of it's worked for. Moreover, it is completely without merit on your part or effort. That sounds like something I could have a lot of, doesn't it? That's grace. And what's mercy? Mercy is, who knows what the word for mercy is? Eleos, thank you very much. E-L-E-O-S, transliterated from the Greek. Which is God's favor in another way, in a different way. For the mitigation of misery and suffering, which is the result of sin, the negative consequences of sin and wrongdoing. But these are things that are both earned and deserved. We earn and deserve those, the wages of sin, trouble, death. These are for the consequences, negative consequences of sin and wrongdoing that are both earned and deserved. Grace is the good things God gives us that are neither earned nor deserved, can't be worked for, that are without merit or effort. Mercy is eleos, the mitigation of misery and suffering from the negative consequences of sin and wrongdoing that are both earned and deserved. First, neither earned nor deserved. That's grace. Mercy, that which is both earned and deserved. Mercy mitigates or alleviates the negative effects of sin and wrongdoing. Wrongdoing is a category of sins only believers can commit. Sin, everybody commits sin. And sin are the individual acts. Words, thoughts, words, deeds. Thoughts, words, decisions, and actions. And mercy mitigates and alleviates those negative effects. Relief from deserved suffering, from the trouble that we bring mostly upon ourselves. Grace is undeserved blessing and mercy, and mercy is undeserved relief. Undeserved blessing and mercy. Undeserved blessing, and mercy is undeserved relief from the negative consequences of wrong thinking, first, and wrongdoing. All wrongdoing is preceded by wrong thinking, resulting in poor decisions. Can anyone here relate to that? Made a few, more than a few. Try not to make the same ones over again. And we do that too. But eventually, we may learn. Enough suffering and doctrine, then we learn. So, according to this passage and the other passages on grace and mercy, what we need and what we want, God is free to give. That is greater grace and more mercy. If this is what you want, as I do, let us see how we might get it, get as much as we possibly need. Both are available in unlimited supply, but the reception is not automatic. It's not automatic. You have to go to the Word to get it. You have to go to the Lord to get it. You have to go to that place called the Green Room each day. And you are invited to barge in to get it. Each one must go and get the measure required that is enough for the day, for each day. Not for tomorrow, but for today. That place is called, I call it the Green Room for a reason. Because it's green there. It used to be white, but when Christ died on the cross, it turned green, which is the most psychologically pleasing color. It's the color of grace. Green is the color of grace. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Every time I think of that, I think of a beautiful pastoral scene where the sheep are grazing in these beautiful, lush, green pastures, and our Savior is there, leading us there, feeding us there, preaching us, preaching to us His Word, speaking kindly to us. He loves us so much. How much do you love us, Lord? This much. He does. Did. That should be settled forever in everyone's soul. So, each one must go to get the measure that is required enough for each day. The place is the Green Room, where the throne of grace and the one who sits upon it graciously dispenses the daily allotment of mercy and grace that is adequate to meet every need. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you. We've been invited to go there and given open access to that room, that throne room, that green room, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 and what? Quarter days per year. 1 year I forgot to go on the quarter day. Had a terrible day. Therefore, not knowing what we will face, we are instructed to go and get what the Lord has already packaged and allotted specifically for us in the variety and exact amount that our plight will require. He knows everything already, in order that we might stand firm in the evil day. According to Matthew 6:25, Matthew 6:31, I read them slow so people who take notes can write them down and look them up. Or you can just listen to this again on sermon audio. You know, it's free to do that. So I just thought maybe nobody understood that it was free and they thought they had to pay to do it. So that's why so few people listen again. But maybe that's not the reason at all. I hope it is. But now you know, so you'll do it. Matthew 6:25-31, Matthew 10:19. How about Mark 13:11? How about Luke 12:22? The reason I give you all these verses is because each one is a little different and gives you a little bit more information on the subject. You need to learn what it means with precision. That gives you precise information. According to those verses, if you go there first thing each morning, each day, you never have to worry about having what you need or even worry about what you'll say or do when you face trouble or opposition, and you're going to. You always have everything you need, both graciously and mercifully bestowed. 24-hour packets, I always say. I got that from my friend Mike Lee, Pastor Mike Lee. 24-hour packets containing just enough for the evil you will encounter each day. Listen to Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Each day has its own evil. So you need mercy and you need grace. 24-hour packets. One day at a time, living every day to its fullest. See, if you go there to get it, you'll have it. But what if you don't? You won't have it. That's all there is to it. I told you it's not automatic. You know, Jesus said, pray to the Father like this. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See how it relates? It's perfect. The Lord's Prayer is in the purview of our going to the green room where the emerald throne of grace is central to all that comes and goes from there. We're talking about the heaven, the abode of God. Listen to Revelation 4. So just to remind you, 1 to 3. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. John was called up to view in heaven what was going on there so that he could look from heaven and see what was going to go on in the earth in the last days. You see it from heaven's perspective. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, Jesus has a voice like a trumpet. It's so loud that you can't help but hear him. It says Jesus lifted up his voice, or raised his voice, speaking to crowds. We talked about this morning briefly in the other room. They all heard him, and he didn't even have one of these. Didn't need it. His voice is like the voice of a trumpet. And he said, come up here to John, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he was sitting was like a jasper stone. Jasper stones are green. And a sardius, which is green in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald. You know, emeralds are green. Green, blue, beautiful shade of green. Did you ever go to Emerald Isle down in North Carolina? Boy, it's beautiful there. The water's emerald. I like that, the emerald hue. Beautiful green, blue. Like an emerald in appearance. This is the same throne that is called the throne of grace in Hebrews 4:16. The throne of grace, the green throne, the emerald throne. The throne, it's in an emerald and a rainbow of emerald or green hues. The polypoikilos, the many-tinted grace of God, as Peter calls it, refers to it. So, the place where Christ is seated, and where it is said that we are seated together with him, in Ephesians 2:6, which infers that we should be regular, if not daily visitors, or I call frequent flyers, in the heavenlies. Well aware of these benefits. So let's exegete. Oh yes, let's do it. We'll do it briefly and simply. Let's exegete Hebrews 4:16 again. You say, why would you do that? Because Ty told me to. Didn't you? He said, sure, can't hear it enough. I blame him. Blame him. Speaking of grace and mercy, turn to Hebrews 4:16. Oh, wait, don't do that yet. Stop. Stop where you're at. I went the wrong way. We've got to finish our verse first. He says, in love and truth, Jesus Christ is love. God is love. 1 John 4:8, 10, and 16. Jesus Christ is God. God is love. Okay? There's love for you. And grace comes out from love. It is the demeanor of God because he's love. He does all of these wonderful things. Grace and mercy. He loves grace and loves mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. James 5:11. Always. Why? Why does it do that? Because God is gracious and merciful. Therefore, it rejoices. He doesn't want to judge or harm or hurt or express displeasure. He wants to bless us in every possible way with truth, with grace and truth, which came by Jesus Christ. So here it says, in truth and aletheia. That's the end of our verse. He says, love and truth, in love and truth, in our 2 John 3 verse. In love and truth. Truth, of course, there is one and only one who not only tells the truth, but is the truth. Even as one, there's one who not only loves, but is love. There's one who not only tells the truth, but is the truth. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Who always tells the truth, and to the dismay of some, lets the chips fall where they may. The truth is the truth. You can't change it. You can't soft sell it. Soft soap itself, soft sell it. You can't. We're to speak the truth in love, be sensitive to people, not to their feelings, but to communicate the proper, the right idea, and do it graciously, but still tell the truth. Jesus does that. He didn't hold back from telling the truth. He said, they hate me because I tell them the truth. That's why they hated him. Till I came, they had a cloak for their sin. He said, I better rip the cloak right off. Told them the truth. And they hate me for it. So don't be surprised or amazed if they hate you too. They hated me first. As the scripture says, they hated me without a cause. They hated me for no reason. Because I told them the truth. Is that why people hate you? Or they hate you for other reasons? It could very well be a combination of both. But anyway, just be sensitive. Don't flatter people. That's one kind of a liar, is a flatterer. Or a white liar, because you don't ever want to bring people to face reality or truth. You don't want to be that. I'm going to tell you about five kinds of liars in a moment. So, see, this is a wonderful message, isn't it, for a Sunday morning? It gets you lots of things to think about during the week. So he says here that I am the truth. Terry said 77 times on Friday night, he tells us, verily, verily, which means truthfully, truthfully, or just truthfully. Jesus is quoted as saying, verily, verily, or verily, in four Gospels, 80 times. I counted them again, it's 80 times. All that he says is pure truth, containing no element of falsehood. Truth stands alone. Truth is an exclusive and absolute concept. Did you know that? Something that is considered mainly or mostly true is not true at all in the final analysis. There's all kinds of lies. Lies of denial, lies of omission, that's the half-truth. You know, I just forgot, oh, I forgot to tell you that part. Lies of fabrication, stuff people make up. Minimization, saying, yeah, but this or that. Or lies of exaggeration. There are all kinds of lies and liars. You have what's called the denier, the deceiver. They lead astray. The exaggerator adds things, embellishes. The fabricator just makes stuff up to suit his purpose. And then there's the flatterer. Which one are you? All of these are blended and used very skillfully by the one who is called the liar. Even as Christ is the truth, in John 14, 6, Satan is the Antichrist, and his spirit is in the world today. We're waiting for the Antichrist, the man of sin, but until then, the Antichrist spirit is in the world today. And the liar, Jesus is the truth, Satan is the liar. Even as God is called the Father of Lights, In James 1:17, Satan is called the father of lies, or literally the lie, in John 8:44. So let's look for just a moment at the anatomy of truth. We may never get to our passage in 4:16, so I'm glad I didn't go there. We'll save that for the next time. We're going to look at the anatomy of truth. Let's look at the anatomy of truth. For anything to be true, it must be pure truth. It must be entirely so. It must be entirely true. If any element of falsehood is found in it, it becomes entirely false. Say, well, that part was true. No, it's not. Because when you add the other part to it, it's false again. Likewise, with other important things, important terms, likewise, law and grace, truth and falsehood, law and grace, works and faith. Such things as these are known as diametric opposites and mutually exclusive absolutes. Did you ever hear those terms before? That describes them perfectly, like light and darkness. If there's any light at all, it can't be darkness. And if there's any light, if there's any darkness at all, it can't be light. It's either true or false, right or wrong, black or white. You say, well, there's gray, isn't there? And that's just perception. It's not gray, it's black, a shade of black. Law and grace is that way. Works and faith are that way also. Romans 11:6, listen to what it says. And if it is by grace, that is the salvation of ours, by pure grace, you can't earn it or deserve it or work for it. It's without merit or effort. And if by grace, then it's no more works. Or grace is no more grace. See it? It's absolute. But if it be of works, then it's nothing to do with grace. It's one or the other. Or grace or work is no more work. If it has to do with work, then grace is no more grace. If it has to do with grace, then work is no more work. It's one or the other. There can be no admixture. It can only be paired with equal or compatible parts. Grace and truth go together, both being divine gifts. Yes, truth is a gift. Faith is a gift. Grace is a gift. They go together, both being divine gifts and responses. You got the gift of grace and faith in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. The gift of God. It's his gift of God. Grace and faith is the gift of God. And the response of faith and gratitude. Faith pleases God in Hebrews 11:6, and grace glorifies him. Only faith pleases him in Hebrews 11:6, and only grace glorifies him in 2 Peter 3:18. Grace and truth, therefore, are likewise compatible. Grace without truth is lasciviousness or lawlessness, that is loose living in the name of grace. In Jude 4, we'll do that on Tuesday night. And truth without grace is legalism, and legalism will kill you. Life under law is called a curse, the curse of the law. You say, what? Under God's holy law? Yeah. Because law can only incite sin and condemn you for it. Condemned to death. 1 Corinthians 15:56. Listen to Romans 7. For while we were in the flesh, that's before we were saved, the sinful passions, you know what those are, urges, which were aroused by the law. All you had to do is tell me you can't do that or don't do that, and I'd do it. Somehow or another. That works. That's human nature. It's the sinful nature of man. We're at work in the members of our body, to say the least, to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Meganoito. Perish the thought. May it never be. The law is not sin. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law, for I would not have known about coveting, wanting something that belongs to somebody else or that doesn't belong to me, if the law had not said, you shall not, thou shall not covet. And I find myself coveting all the time. But sin taking opportunity through the commandment produced in me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Oh, that's a good word. Terry taught about that on Friday Night Live. Get that message. Look at that message. Listen to it. It's a wonderful message. So that you might say, along with the apostle and his people who understand it, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Therefore, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for righteousness comes through the works of the law. Christ died needlessly for nothing. Remember that one? That's a good one. Doing what the law forbids, or not doing what the law demands, is sin for those under the law. Commission and omission are equally sinful and punishable by death. Therefore, under the law, you're damned if you do what is forbidden, and damned if you don't do what is required. Under law, according to Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sins, even once, there's no forgiveness under the law, will die. Whereas under grace, listen to this, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The soul who sins will die, or whoever believes in him, I want the second one, shall not perish, shall not die, but have eternal life. Under law, whoever sins shall surely die. Under grace, whoever believes shall surely live. Wow. Though we're not under law, but under grace, and sin is no longer our master. In Romans 6:14, we are not without law. Rather, we are responsible to a higher law. Yes, we are. You say, we're lawless, aren't we? Aren't we without law? No, we're inlawed to Christ under a new kind of law, spiritual law, called the law of the Spirit of life. That's a different kind of law, different kind of dynamic in Christ Jesus, with no condemnation, called under the law of Christ, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:21. He says, to those who are without law, I become like one without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are not Jewish or not under the law, Jewish law. The law of Christ is, here's the law of Christ. Anybody know what the law of Christ is? Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Love one another is the law of Christ, and bear one another's burdens. Now, everybody has to bear their own burdens, but we're to bear one another's burdens. In other words, if you have something you want me to pray for or help you with, ask me. I'll do my level best to be of assistance to you. And I know likewise you too. So, Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens, therefore fulfill the law of Christ. It's also called, in another place, the law of the Spirit of life. I already mentioned that. That's Romans 8:2. Also called, I love this one. The perfect law of liberty. James 1:25 and 2:12. This one's even better. It's also called the royal law of love in James 2:8. Yeah, even James got it right. That right strawy epistle. Therefore, love, according to Romans 13:10, is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. That's what it was all about. And Christ fulfilled it because he is love. Love hung on the cross, fulfilled the requirement of the law. And now what? Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes, Jew and Gentile alike. There's no difference. Just thought I'd add that. Love is the fulfillment of the law in Romans 13:10. In Romans 14:23, therefore, now, whatever is not from faith is sin. Now, not believing is sin. Believing is righteousness. Not believing is sin. We are not under the Torah. The Torah is the law of Moses. We're not under the Torah of works, but rather under the Torah of faith. They're mutually exclusive, diametric opposites. Bear with me and allow me, once again, to be a poet warrior. I just wanted to do this poem again. We love those kind of things. We're poets. Brad, Vicky, me, others. Poet warriors. That's what we are. We think about these things, and they become condensed in our soul. We have to have some means of expression. Vicky writes songs, Brad writes songs, I write poems. Someday we'll get together with my poems and their musical abilities and the ability to express these things and maybe work out a few more. Vicky said she sang mine, the one the other day, Two Trees. Standing tall. Offering what? Oh, that's right, yeah. Side by side, beckoning all. Yeah, that's it. I forgot the word, she knows them. This is called the Torah of faith. Just listen carefully. We'll close with this. Faith, you say, is all I need? Is faith alone without a deed? Enough alone or just a seed? By inward thought or outward creed? The bread of life, question, on which we feed? Be warmed and fed, my wish for you. The meal is mine, my garments few, just enough to get me through. Since I believe, I need not do. The heart can't hide what God can view. The law of faith or works, which one? The tables of stone or God's crucified Son? The good work in you which he has begun, performing in you what he's already done. Faith is the race set before us to run. We walk by faith and not by sight. By means of the Spirit we walk in the light. With shield held high, we wage faith's good fight. Not by power, not by might. By the sword of the Spirit, 10,000 take flight. The travail of Christ's soul that the Father saw satisfied justice, fulfilled the Torah. The fire not quenched, and the worm that shall gnaw are forever allayed by the lot Christ would draw. For righteousness, Christ is the end of the law. All that he did by his life, pure and clean, his life without sin would for sin intervene. All that he did and all it would mean, as we look at those things which cannot be seen, as he makes us lie down in pastures of green. Rejected by men and by God put to grief, though he was able, he sought no relief, that it might be for all as it was for that thief, who turned to the Lord, though ever so brief, eternally saved through a moment's belief. Faith in the truth is what God desires, believing it all before time expires. The pure word of God that the Spirit inspires. How happy the soul of the one who acquires the one needful thing is the good God requires. Faith is the issue and always has been, to which works of law were never akin. Faith pleases God from a heart pure within, the innocent one for a covering of skin. Thus all that is not out from faith is sin. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for these things, somewhat perhaps disconnected, but all fitting together beautifully from your word, the revelation of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Vicki, if you would get ready, please. Father, we thank you for these things. Cause them to stick and just allow us and give us an inquiring mind and heart to look into these things and to make them our own. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.